And certainly we enjoyed the way we've been led in our services thus far, the singing, Brother Daniels, and the scripture and prayer as well. We would like to welcome those who might be visiting with us to our worship service here at the High Street Congregation. Normally, Brother Almanzo Jones would be, he's our regular minister, rather, but we know that Brother Jones and family experienced the loss of his father, and he was funeralized on yesterday. So Brother Manzo is not with us this morning, but we do have one that's not a stranger to us all, and that's the person of Brother Andrew Carney from the Old Hickory Boulevard Church of Christ. Brother Carney fills in from time to time for us, and we're just delighted to have him here with us this morning. We've got several members that are out of town. We want to make sure we keep them in our prayers. All of our youth, the majority of our youth in Gatlinburg today, they went up Friday, and they, God willing, will return this afternoon late. So they went there for the annual Tennessee State Youth Conference. So let us keep them in our prayers. And also those others that might still be traveling, the Clemens are out of town. They told me to make sure that I mentioned that as well. But at this time, we're going to give away to Brother Andrew L. Carney from the Old Hickory Boulevard Church of Christ. And Brother Andrew L. Carney will also be back this afternoon. Amen. So at this time, Brother Carney.
And we'll be decked with
let the church say amen. Amen. God has been real good to us. Amen. He has lengthened the brittle threads of our lives, and he is allowing our golden moments to roll on just a little while longer. Amen. To him we are eternally grateful. Amen. I'm sorry that I'm here under the circumstances, but I'm glad to be here. And I do appreciate so very much the confidence that is placed in me in inviting me to come to fill in for a great man of God, Almanzo Jones. Our condolences are extended to him and his family, as you are doing and have done. Certainly we want to keep praying for him and for them. I understand that I've been receiving a lot of things over the internet about a number of his children went to Southwestern. A number of Brother Jones's children, the one that succumbed to death. And so from SWCC alumni, there are a lot of things on the internet, on ACAN ECA Network, about this. And so a lot of prayers are going up to God on his behalf. A great elder, I understand, in the Lord's church. Certainly we want to keep praying for them. It's good to be in your presence again, and as always, it's good to be able to come together to worship the great I am. Jesus said, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I just enjoyed so very much the singing, the way you open your mouths. Everybody isn't here. Quite a number is away, but you couldn't tell it from the singing today. It has truly been inspirational. And I was trying to find out where you got this book, who did the printing. And I understand that someone in the congregation, Sister Kua, is responsible for this. And I need to talk to you, see if I can't get you to do this for OHB and see if we can't get a book similar to this with the other songs that are in our book added to this book. Beautiful job of this, and you all do a wonderful job of singing from it. Brother Daniel has done an excellent job this morning, And all of the songs have come from the supplemental book. I want you to turn to page 40. Page 40. Let's sing "When I Wake Up to Sleep No More." Everybody isn't here, but we have enough voices to do this song as y'all beautifully do it. Page 40 in the supplemental book. Let's do it. What a glad thought, some wonderful morning. I should hear Gabriel's trumpet sound when I wake up to sleep no more. Rise to meet my blessed Redeemer. With a glad shout, I'll leave the ground when I wake up to sleep no more. On some glad morning. Doors are dawning, over in glory, telling the story with the redeemed of all the ages. When I wake up to sleep no more, glory to God, I have a new body, changed in the twinkling of an eye. When I wake up to sleep no more, living behind all trouble and sorrow, bound for that city up on high. When I wake up to sleep no more, on some glad morning, joys are dawning, over in glory. Telling the story with the redeemed of all the ages. When I wake up to sleep no more, I shall behold the beauties of heaven with the redeemed of every race. When I wake up to sleep no more, near the green trees beside the still waters. When I wake up to sleep no more, on some glad morning, joys are dawning, over in glory, telling the story with the redeemed of all the angels. To sleep no more. Oh, on some glad morning, joys are dawning, over in glory. Telling the story with the redeemed of all the ages. When I wake up to sleep no more. Thank you for joining me in that. Y'all really sing that song. Colossians chapter 3 claims our attention. It's been beautifully read. But if you don't mind, I'd like to reread those verses, Colossians 3, 1 through 4. How many Bibles came to church today? Everybody bring your Bibles? Good. I guess it's about 95%. We got to work on that other 5% now. Colossians 3, Paul writes, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." Amen. Our lesson subject is this: out of this world. Say that with me. Out of this world. Thank you. If you were to close your eyes and try to imagine that nothing physical exists, you would still have a consciousness. The ability to think, to feel, to believe, to hope, to love, and to exercise the other qualities of the spirit would not be hampered, not in the least. These cannot be seen with the physical eye, but they are very real. You cannot see the breath of life, but we know it exists. God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, and many other things cannot be seen with the physical eye, but we see them with the eye of faith. And by such, we can know that they are very real. Not believe that they are real, but we can know that they are very real. If Job could say hundreds of years before Jesus came to the earth, in Job 19:25, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the latter days upon the earth. If Paul, the great apostle to the Gentiles, could say in 2 Timothy 1:12, I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. If Job could say what he said and Paul could say what he said, should it seem impossible for us, for whom Christ died, for us to know Christ, to know God, to know of a certainty that there's a heaven to be sought and a hell to be shunned? I think not. Someday, our physical bodies will return to the dust of this earth. And this old earth, the earth is going to melt with fervent heat. But the part of you which is now conscience and thinking will live forever. Of all things in the world today, only three will outlive time and will exist in eternity. Think about that for a minute with me, please. Only three things will outlive time and will exist in eternity. Can you name them? One is the Word of God. We know it and call it the Bible. It is the indestructible, inspired, and indisputable Word of God. Matthew 24, 35, 1 Peter 1, and verse 25. Peter said, the Word of the Lord endureth forever. It will stand forever. Secondly, the soul of man. Your soul and mine will outlive time and will exist in eternity. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 54. A little later on, I will deal with some verses from 1 Corinthians 15. Another scripture that points up the fact that the soul will never die. The Revelation chapter 20, verses 12 through 14. Of course, we understand the scriptures to teach that the unrighteous souls will be cast into a lake of fire and brimstone. It is still alive, however. It is still conscience. It will die a slow death. According to the Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, I'm going to call this the sea clause, where the revelator John said, all life shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Those who are cast into the lake of fire will die a slow death. It is not swift, as the Jehovah's Witnesses would have you believe. Three things that will outlive time and will exist in eternity: the Word of God, the soul of man, and thirdly, the church of Christ's choice. Notice how I phrase that now, the church of Christ's choice. The one that he died for and purchased with his own blood. Daniel 2:44, Matthew 16:18. The Bible says that it shall stand forever. One other scripture relative to the church being everlasting is 1 Corinthians 15:24. Paul writes, then cometh the end, the final consummation of human affairs, when time and tide shall be no more. The end, Paul said, when he, that is Christ, shall have delivered up the kingdom, that's the church, delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. Amen. Verses 24 and 25 inclusive. The most important thing that you have is your soul. The most important thing that I have is my soul. Jesus declared as much in Matthew 16:24. He said, for what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? This being true, doesn't it make sense for mankind, every man, woman, boy, and girl, giving heed to the word of God, for it shall stand forever. It is that by which we will be judged. Doesn't it make sense that mankind will hasten to get in the church of Christ's choice? The one that he died for and purchased with his own blood. The one that he's coming back for. Since the church will stand forever, shouldn't it occupy a very important place in our lives? Thirdly, shouldn't mankind be interested in whatever it takes to save his soul, since it will never die if it goes to heaven? Man should bring his soul into harmony with the word of God, becoming a member of the Bible church, the one that is talked about in the Bible, so that he can live with God, with Christ, the Holy Ghost, the angels, the saints, and the redeemed of all ages, chimes and times in that city that lieth foursquare. Living above is the only smart thing to do. Because, as Solomon said in Proverbs 15:24, the way of life is above to the wise. Again, that's Proverbs 15:24. We came from out of this world. We came from out of this world. Genesis 2:7, and God breathed, God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Man's spirit came from God, and soon it shall return to God who gave it. Ecclesiastes 12:6-7, Solomon said, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit unto God who gave it. Man has never been able to create life, even in its minute form. Living things come from living things. Therefore, we can know with assurance that we came from a more powerful life. Man can, and man does perform acts and actions that make life a little easier to bear. Man can even lengthen life through surgery, the removal of a tumor, the removal of cancer when it is detected in time. The removal of a ruptured appendix can put years onto your life. But do you know what man cannot do? He cannot create life. Man cannot create life. You know, man can make an egg that will look like an egg, that will crack like an egg, will even taste like an egg. But you know what that egg can't do? It can't hatch. Man is not in the life-giving business. Only God is. Now, you know, man is smart. The late and great Brother Keeble said man is too smart, and I'm prone to agree. But man is able to clone animals. They were talking about cloning humans. I don't think they've advanced to that yet, but they do clone animals. I think the first they cloned was Dolly. Incidentally, Dolly died. But when man can clone an animal, or when man can clone a human being from something that doesn't have life, say from a rock or from dirt, then I'll agree that man can create life. But he cannot do that. They can do some things and clone from life another life, but they cannot clone from that is inanimate. Inasmuch as we are alive, we can know for sure that we came from out of this world. Everyone is compelled to admit a force outside of man himself. A little girl ran and jumped into her father's lap, looked up at him suddenly and quizzically, and asked, "Daddy, what makes me go?" She realized, and she recognized the fact that she had an ability that wasn't possessed by inanimate objects. This animation, this force of life, was necessarily imparted by some power greater than man. That power, beloved, is God. Some call him Jehovah. Some call him Elohim. Some call him Yahweh. Some call him the invisible spirit. But by any other name, he is still God. Amen. Second point, seeing the invisible God. The visible things of this world testify to an invisible power. Paul said that in Romans 1 and verse 20. God is spoken of as being in heaven. He is spoken of as being on high. He is spoken of as being above the circle of the earth. On the other hand, he is so near that in him we live, we move, and we have our very being. Acts 17 and verse 28. Though invisible, 1 Timothy 1:17, a spiritual being, John 4:24, he is very real. And he's very near. We sing about it sometimes, don't we? God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. We say some folk may doubt. Some folk may scorn. All can go and leave me all alone. But as for me, I'll take God's part. For God is real, and I can feel him in my heart. Yes, God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. Yes, he's real, church. Though invisible, God is real. Point three, the invisible living Christ. Christ, the Son of God, gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Galatians 1 and verse 4. Our lesson, remember, out of this world. The eternal, invisible Son became poor that we might become rich. Oh, I like that. He was rich, but he became poor that we, through his poverty, might be rich. He went from riches to rags that we may go from rags to riches. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. The Bible says, For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. He left heaven and came to earth not only to give himself for our sins and to lift us from spiritual poverty, but also to show us the Father, Jesus came to show us the Father. Mankind thought of God as being some tyrant who stood above man with a whip in his hand, ready to zap us if we got out of line. But Jesus came and said, no, God is your Father. God is your Father. He said over there in Matthew chapter 7, verses 9 through 11, what man among you, having a son, if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If he asks for bread, will you give him a rock, a stone? He said, if ye being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those that ask him? Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Jesus came to present God as a Father. Over there in John chapter 14, Jesus is talking to one of his trusted disciples. Beginning at verse 8, he says, the Bible says, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The works that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. God did not come any closer to man by sending his son into the world, but he did come into view, which enabled all mankind to know the Father intimately and to know him personally. Can Christ be seen today? That's a good question. Don't you agree? The answer is yes and no. You see, many cannot see him. Others can. Over there in John 14 and verse 19, Jesus said this, the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. There are some who can see him, and there are some that cannot see him. He can be seen with the eye of faith. Yes, he's very much alive today and continues to work in behalf of his followers, according to Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Every time the disciples of Christ assemble on the Lord's Day to engage in partaking of the Lord's Supper, do you know who is there? Jesus the Christ, the blessed Son of God, is here. Yes, he is. When our Lord instituted the Lord's Supper in that upper room of John Mark's house, Jesus told his disciples, I will drink no more of this fruit of the vine until that day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom, or in the kingdom of God. Mark 14 and verse 25. When the kingdom had its beginning on that first Pentecost, following the Lord's death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, they engaged in partaking of the Lord's Supper. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread and in prayer. Jesus had already gone to heaven by this time, but he engaged in the partaking of the Lord's Supper with them. Every time true disciples come together for to worship God, Christ is the unseen worshiper here. He is the silent guest. He is the only one in the worship that ought to be silent all throughout. Amen, lights. That's something that everybody ought to do in worship. You didn't just come here to be a spectator. You ought to be a participator in the singing, at least. Every now and then, you might even want to say amen. Christ is the only silent worshiper. Matthew 18 and 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. He's here today. He's here today. When we engage in the partaking of the Lord's Supper, he will engage also. No, you can't see him with the natural eye, but he can be seen with the eye of faith. Simply believe. That's all. My last point is this. Our help comes from out of this world. I said our help comes from out of this world. And that is the reason why we pray to somebody that we can't see, somebody that we believe and know is in the heavens. Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Psalm 121. This is a psalm of David. It's called a song of degrees. He said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in, from this time forth and even forevermore. The Lord will help us. Our help comes from above. There are times when we have no one else to turn to. We have no other help that we can acquire. I'm confident there have been times for you, just as there have been for me. There are times at midnight when you have a problem that you're wrestling with. I know I have. A problem I'm wrestling with. My wife is asleep. It's too late to call anybody to discuss my problem with them. And I have sense enough to go in prayer. I have sense enough to know that I have someone who's never asleep. His line is never busy. Oh, somebody here knows what I'm talking about. And I can go to him, for he is our help, our present help in time of trouble. I'm sure there have been times you've talked to God about a problem. You couldn't go to sleep, but after talking to God, you can go on to sleep. At least I have. After leaving it with him, you know, we sing a song, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Now, our problem all too often is we take our burdens to the Lord and then we come away with them. We try to figure them out ourselves. No, take them to the Lord and leave them there. He's able. He knows all about them. He knows the solution to the problem even before the problem existed. He knows all about it. I read in Psalm 139 in verse 2, he knows our thoughts. You believe this? Even before we think them. Check that out. Psalm 139 verse 2, he knows our thoughts when they are afar off. Oh yes, he knows. He knows how much we can bear out of this world. The lesson is yours. If you're here today and you stand at guilty distance from God, you don't have to stay that way. You can rectify that guilty distance between yourself and God. Come believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Repent of sins. Confess faith in Christ. Be baptized in water. And then live the Christian life. You see, it's not enough just to be baptized. You have to keep on up the King's highway. We talked about it in lesson this morning. We need to add to that faith virtue, to knowledge, temperance, to patience, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. Peter said, if these be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord. But if you lack these things, you're blind and cannot see afar off. And you've forgotten that you were once purged from your old sins. If you're here, you have obeyed, but you've strayed. This is your lucky day. You can come back. Renew your covenant with the Lord. Rededicate your life to Him by way of repentance, confession, and prayer. We will pray with you and for you that God will forgive you. If you're here by the character while heaven is waiting, Jesus is pleading. Mercy is lingering. The church is praying. Come now as we stand to sing the invitation
sometime
song.
Sometime we'll stand before the judgment bar, the quick, the risen dead. The Lord will then make known our record, that our name shall all be read. Will I be present when He rolls His cause frail and faultless through the crimson flood? I will answer when He calls my name. I am saved through Jesus' blood. I'll then receive a bright and starry crown as only God can give. And when I've been with Him 10,000 years, I have no less to live. Will I be present when the world